Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
And I'm joined by Neil Thompson. He is an acclaimed journalist, and he is out with a brand new nonfiction work. This is called The First Kennedys, The Humble Roots of an American Dynasty. The book is available everywhere. And, you know, Neil, I've got to say, this book was just an incredible, it reminded me of Angela's Ashes. I thought a lot about Frank McCourt as I was reading it. And the story of Irish immigration in the 1800s to the United States, to the Boston area in particular, you put this book together in the context of the Kennedys, what became this American dynasty, this American royalty. When you went about to set about to research this, did you realize the really black hole you were going down? Because there's not a lot of information about the migration and the immigration of the Kennedy clan.
Yeah, no, that's actually well put, because it was a black hole. You know, I assumed when I started a couple of things. One, I assumed that because this particular story hadn't been written before, you know, going back a couple of generations before Joe Kennedy, exploring the lives of, as I do in the book, Bridget and Patrick Kennedy, and coming from Ireland in the mid-1800s. On the one hand, I assumed that book hadn't been written, so maybe there wasn't a wealth of information out there. But on the other hand, I just assumed it's got to be there somewhere, right? This is the Kennedys. You know, there's got to be a trove of documents just waiting for me to find it. And there really wasn't. So it became very much a matter of kind of solving this mystery. Who were they? Where did they come from? Why did they come to America? What was life really like for them? And so I think one reason this book took me almost 20 years of fits and starts was for that reason. They were hard to find. They were hard to, it was hard to fully bring them to life, but hopefully I succeeded in some way. I appreciate the comparison to Angela's Ashes, which is one of my favorite books. But I think they've been overlooked. I think their story has been largely forgotten or surmounted by the larger story of the Kennedys of the 20th century and beyond. And I really wanted this book to take us back to these, as the title says, the humble roots of this family. Who were they and what was life like for them? And it was hard. They had a really rough go of it in their first decades in America.
Well, Bridget, who kind of got the whole thing started, she was the one, this would be JFK's great-grandmother, right?
Yep,
okay.
Right.
She was the one that came over on the ship, and you use a lot of words like likely and possibly, because, you know, the name Bridget Murphy is kind of like Mary Smith or Jane Smith. It's just a very common name. Right. So tracing this back, but this was a real strong woman. I mean, she kind of, without her, I don't think we would have seen a JFK and all of everything that came after it, right?
Absolutely not. I mean, I think that's maybe one of the stronger arguments of the book, is that without Bridget Murphy Kennedy, we wouldn't have the Kennedys that we know of today. You're right. She was an incredibly strong woman, as were many of the single, in most cases, Irish women who were leaving Ireland during and after the Great Potato Famine. I found it remarkable to learn that the women emigrating from Ireland outnumbered the men throughout most of the 1800s. And many of them arrived in Boston and started working at the lowest rung on the ladder, working as maids, working in Boston Brahmin households, just scraping by. And that's what Bridget did. But I found it fascinating, too, to learn that many of these women weren't willing to just settle for that role as a biddy, as they were called, these Irish maids. Many of them worked their way up into positions that they wouldn't have been allowed to fill in Ireland. I think one reason Bridget Murphy came to America wasn't just to, you know, establish a beachhead for her broader family and get away from the famine and make some money in America to send back to her poor family in Ireland. I think it was also just to get the heck out of a country where her prospects were dim no matter what. But, you know, she's an incredible woman. She works as a maid, then in time she moves up and works as a hairdresser. But along the way, she faces tragedy after tragedy. She loses her firstborn son, John F. Kennedy. She loses her husband 10 years after making it to America, and is left with four kids alone in the slums of East Boston where she lived. And as you point out, Brian, that's where the family could have ended right there. You know, she could have lost her children to an orphanage, as was common at the time. There was, you know, disease in the air. Many kids died of any number of diseases that were stalking the slums at that time. So it's incredible that, to me, that she kept this family going and then found a way to move her way up and establish herself as, you know, like a middle-class citizen of this city that didn't really want Irish or Catholics.
The man that Bridget ends up marrying, Patrick Kennedy, he had a profession or a job, blue-collar job, which I admit I had never heard the term before, coopering. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah, coopering is barrel making. This is a job that Patrick Kennedy, JFK's great-grandfather on the paternal side, he started developing this skill back in Ireland. It was interesting to me that he, like Bridget, grew up on a farm, a modest tenant farm run by his parents, but he was the first one to sort of leave that farm and find a job in the nearest town. So he learned to make barrels in the town of New Ross, and then when he decided to leave Ireland, similarly to Bridget, he was the first in his family to leave Ireland, he came to America, and that skill, that ability to make barrels, and I describe some of the nuances of it in the book, that gave him a little bit of a leg up. You know, most Irish immigrants, male and female, you know, took the crummiest jobs they could find. For women, it was working as a maid. For men, it was digging ditches and laying the railroads and digging tunnels. But Patrick was able to build these barrels, and because he ended up in East Boston, which is a big shipping hub, he was busy and earned a steady income for his family. I also describe it in the book as kind of the beginning of this lineage of working in the whiskey business for the family. He worked, you know, Patrick made whiskey barrels. Later, he dies, and Bridget is raising her family and her kids, and she opens a grocery store where she ends up selling liquor on the side, and then later her son, PJ, gets into the liquor business as well, a successful saloon keeper who turns to politics. So whiskey is kind of a theme throughout these first decades of the early Kennedys in America.
When Bridget and Patrick both came over to the United States, I don't know that it was in the book, or maybe it just doesn't record it in history, but who would have paid for their transport to the United States?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, that kind of money wasn't easy to come by. They didn't have a lot of money on their respective family farms. You know, a lot of times the community or an extended family would take up a collection, you know, make a decision that one member of the family was going to go over and be the first to establish, you know, a new beachhead and a new land. And sometimes the church would raise money or take up a collection. So I think it was really scrounging for coins, really, to pull together enough money to pay for the passage. And I described the passage as being dangerous and deadly you know, the coffin ships, as they were known. So it was a big risk for them financially and putting their lives on the line as well.
I'm chatting with Neil Thompson about his book, The First Kennedys, The Humble Roots of an American Dynasty. It is available everywhere. The Boston that Bridget Murphy and Patrick Kennedy encountered, NINA, N-I-N-A was an acronym, No Irish Need Apply. Was the anti-immigrant attitude simply about the Irish, or was this of all races and all nationalities, I guess, that were showing up in Boston at the time?
Yeah, one of the things I tried to explore deeply in the book is America's attitude toward the immigrants across time. The attitude you're describing that the Irish and Catholics face, it's been part of our history all along, and I think we've had very complicated relationships with immigrants and immigration policy. I think, though, when Bridget and Patrick came, because they were part of this first very large wave of immigrants, the Irish Catholics escaping the potato famine really comprised that the first mass refugee population coming to the U.S. So even though anti-immigrant attitudes were already in existence, in particular in Brahmin old school Boston, where many of the Irish came, I think they really flared up in a big way through the mid-1800s as as tens of thousands and ultimately, you know, a million plus came to America from Ireland. And I think, you know, people freaked out. They were poor rural Irish people, you know, with their thick brogue, or in some cases speaking Gaelic or Irish as its own. And America wasn't ready for them. It kind of felt overwhelmed by them and intimidated by their religion, too. You know, we were a very Protestant country then, and maybe still are. But when the Irish came, a lot of the Boston Brahmins, didn't want the Irish as neighbors and didn't want Catholics as neighbors, especially.
There's an anecdotal thing toward the end of the book about November 22nd. That's a red-letter date in the history of the Kennedy family, and I'm sure Kennedy conspirists have figured this out before. But can you explain what November 22nd, what the significance of that date is?
Yeah, so, you know, if there are any, you know, Kennedy history followers out there, they'll know November 22nd is the date that John F. Kennedy was assassinated. But it was also the date that his great-grandfather Patrick died of consumption, November 22nd, 1858, after suffering from tuberculosis, was known as consumption at the time. And then nearly 50 years later, or a little less than 50 years later, JFK's other great-grandfather on his maternal side, his grandfather PJ's father-in-law died on November 22nd as well. Brian, I also mentioned it's my son's birthday, so that date has special significance to me too.
This whole idea about the Kennedys, and there's not a lot out there about their history. Do you get the sense that the part of the Kennedys that became Camelot, that era of the family, do you think they were somewhat embarrassed by the humble roots? Because it seems like if you're a politician, you would exploit the heck out of this. Or when they were doing their thing, was the anti-immigrant attitude still such that they didn't want to know about it or reference it? Because JFK didn't even talk about Bridget and Patrick.
Yeah, and I found that remarkable too. He made one reference, and he goes, when JFK went to Ireland in 1963, just a few months before he was killed, he did visit his own former family homestead and gave a speech there in New Ross, not far from where Patrick made his whiskey barrels. And he gave a shout out to his great grandfather, the whiskey maker, the barrel maker, but never mentioned Bridget. That was the only reference I found to him mentioning Patrick either. And I never found a reference to him giving a shout out to PJ, who started the political career for the Kennedys. So I don't know. I think there was a complicated relationship between the Kennedys and their Irish past. I know Joe Kennedy, JFK's father, didn't want to be thought of as Irish or Irish-American. He wanted to be known as American, not hyphenated, as he put it. I'm an American now. I was born here. I want to be known that way. So I think early on that lingering discrimination toward Irish and Catholics was one reason they kept their distance from their Irish roots. And I think JFK did have some curiosity and did visit Ireland a couple times, but never fully embrace the true backstory of his family that goes back to Bridget and Patrick, as I describe in the book.
This book was so easy to read. I mean, usually history books about, you know, this time period are so dull and boring. This thing just read like a thriller, and it's so rich. There's so much to it. The book is The First Kennedys, The Humble Roots of American Dynasty by Neil Thompson. The book's available everywhere. Neil, I just can't tell you how much I enjoyed this book, and I thank you for joining me to talk about it.
I really appreciate that, Brian. Enjoyed talking to you as well. Thank you.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com, and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to music historian Molly Jolly and segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.